The Enduring Gap podcast is made possible by an Education Writers Association fellowship. EWA fellowships support ambitious education journalism projects.
Twice a week in the spring of 2021, Andres Mendoza left work an hour early so he could get home in time for his online classes.
This is my little dog, Draco. Let me let this little thing out real fast. Come on.
He let his dachshund Draco outside, then logged onto Blackboard to get his latest assignments.
It's only technically 9 questions, but it's really probably about 40 questions. But right now, it doesn't look too bad. Oh, this actually doesn't look too bad. I might not be doing homework all night today. Okay, this isn't that bad. That's a relief.
Mendoza is 25 and a junior at the University of Texas at San Antonio. He works full-time and goes to college part-time so he can support himself without going into debt.
I've never liked to owe anybody money, regardless if it's $5, 50 cents, whatever. I don't like owing anybody money, so having to owe the government money is, like, even worse.
From Texas Public Radio, this is The Enduring Gap, a limited series exploring some of the reasons more Latinos aren't earning college degrees in San Antonio. I'm Camille Phillips. San Antonio is 64% Hispanic, but white adults in San Antonio are more than twice as likely to have a bachelor's degree. Why? There isn't a lot of research on that, especially at the local level. So we went looking for answers ourselves. TPR surveyed more than 2,600 students enrolled in San Antonio's public institutions of higher education in early 2021. One of the main topics of the survey was paying for college. We asked students about work, grants, and scholarships. Over and over again, one issue rose to the top: college loans. This is episode 2. I don't like owing people money. Mendoza originally planned to go to Texas State University after high school, but he didn't receive enough financial aid. Like a lot of middle-income families, his parents made too much money for him to qualify for the Pell Grant, but not enough to be able to afford tuition, room, and board without loans.
They could have paid for it, but my circumstances were a little bit difficult my senior year. My grandpa had actually passed away on, like, the first day of my senior year. And then, unexpectedly, my uncle, who was supposed to take care of everybody over there, he passed away from pancreatic cancer. So my parents, being the good people that they are, you know, forked over a lot of money to help with the funeral expenses. So I didn't want to throw another big lump sum of money at them just to go to college.
Instead, Mendoza opted to stay in Corpus Christi and go to Del Mar, the local community college.
We made it out with no debt or anything like that, and it was a blessing in disguise, honestly. I would have rather my senior year went a little different, but, you know, me choosing to go to community college was really, like, the best decision that I could have made.
After completing his basic credits, Mendoza transferred to UTSA to finish his bachelor's degree. Now that he's older, he's eligible for need-based financial aid because it's based on his income, not his parents. But it doesn't cover everything. Mendoza charges the occasional textbook to a credit card, and he works full-time to cover his living expenses without taking out student loans.
It's basically like working two jobs. Like, I get off of work, and then I pretty much clock back in when I walk in my apartment door to start doing homework.
He says life is too precarious to risk being on the hook for paying back the interest on college loans for decades.
Stuff happens. Coronavirus happens. People get laid off from their job. You know, in my case, I had to have surgery and whatnot. Fortunate enough for me, I have insurance, but, like, a lot of people don't have insurance. So if somebody was in my situation and they had to pay off a loan, and then something unexpected like a surgery came up, well, then it's like, here comes another pile of debt to add to my credit.
Mendoza is not the only one to feel that way. TPR's survey found that a lot of Latino college students in San Antonio are wary of student loans. A little less than half of the students who responded to the survey said they took out loans to pay for school, and Latino students were just as likely to take out loans as white students. But the reason students didn't take out loans varied a lot depending on their race and ethnicity. Most Black and Latino students who didn't take out loans said they were afraid they wouldn't be able to pay them back. Most white students said they didn't take out loans because they could get by without them. And those reasons matter. Sandy Baum is a college finance expert with the Urban Institute. She says avoiding student loans when you have a hard time paying for college without them can reduce a student's chances of graduating.
Even though the public discourse is very much about how borrowing too much can be a problem, there is some pretty strong evidence that not borrowing enough can also be a problem. And so, I mean, the issue is pretty straightforward that if you take a loan instead of working the extra hours to get that money, then you have more time to devote to your studies.
In TPR's survey, lower-income Latinos were less likely to take out loans than white students in the same income brackets. But Latino students still take on other forms of debt. Erica McDonald is one of the nearly 200 Hispanic survey respondents who said they haven't taken out student loans, but they have charged some school expenses to a credit card. She says she doesn't want to take on student debt because she already has credit card debt.
I wish that was something that they teach us, like in high school, like about APR and credit cards and things like that, because I probably would never have taken out a credit card when I was 18. My mom just told us never to take out loans. Don't ever do that, because if you don't pay it back right away, it'll mess up your credit.
McDonald is 30 and married with two young children. She stays home with her kids and takes online classes at San Antonio College while her husband works.
People send me stuff for like student loans, and I'm like, I don't want to do that because I would worry about it. And then that I'm not working, having to ask my husband, hey, can you help me pay this student loan? It would just bother me. So that's why I tried really, really hard to make sure that I had really good grades to qualify for financial aid. And if I hadn't, I would have had to take out that loan, and I really didn't want to.
She decided to go back to college in the fall of 2020, 10 years after she dropped out.
This is the first year that I've even really been driven to like really go to school. Like I was like, all right, let's do it. And I did it during the most stressful time in America when everyone was adjusting to, you know, the pandemic. I wanted to be able to have a purpose.
McDonald wants to open a vegetarian food truck. But she felt like she needed to know more about running a business first. Her first semester back, she hadn't been approved for financial aid yet. So she enrolled in two classes while she waited for her Pell Grant to kick in.
That's all I could afford at the time. I would have taken more if I had had the money to spend. You know, my husband, he put things on credit cards just so I could go to school.
They added the $800 tuition fee to the credit card balance they're trying to pay off, even though it has a high interest rate. McDonald says they hope to be able to pay it off when they get their tax returns.
Hopefully by then we'll be able to just pay that one off, because that's the one that hurts us the most.
McDonald's experience with credit card debt makes her more determined to avoid student loans. That's a common reaction for Black and Latino students, according to Vanessa Sansone. She's an assistant professor of education policy at UTSA.
Usually loans in the context of our community are focused on like a payday lender, these predatory loans.
Sansone grew up in a lower income family on San Antonio's east side and was the first in her family to go to college. She experienced many of the inequities she researches firsthand.
You know, it's pretty traumatic when you have somebody who's trying to repossess your car because you couldn't pay your note, right? Even though one could say, but a loan, a student loan is a good investment. And, you know, you can always pay that back once you get your job. Well, the thing is that they have this context of what a loan is and how it has consistently harmed their families and their communities. The way that they're making decisions about things is going to be completely different than a white student.
San Antonio's Black and Latino college students are also significantly more likely to be from low-income families, giving them fewer resources to fall back on during tough times. Francisco Hernandez says that's part of the reason he's avoided student loans.
Growing up in a low-income family, I've just seen my family all suffer debt. They had to work multiple amounts of jobs just to be able to pay off one loan when they had multiple other loans taken out in their name.
Hernandez is 23. He's a geology major who wants to work in water resources when he finishes his bachelor's degree. After seeing his family struggle with loans, he says he would be constantly worried if he took out student loans. He grew up in Brownsville and moved to San Antonio when he was 18.
After college, I want my time to be my time. I just don't want to be worrying about any additional bills as far as like loans or anything I have to pay back.
In the spring of 2021, Hernandez worked full-time at a call center while going to school full-time at San Antonio College. He also had a part-time job and took on odd jobs whenever he could, doing manual labor and teaching coding and piano.
I've been trying to save up for money for when I transfer to my university, which is Texas State. So I'm taking like rent, groceries, future car bills.
The Pell Grant completely covered his tuition plus some living expenses at San Antonio College. But tuition is more expensive at Texas State. He wants to have money saved up for living expenses so he doesn't have to work or take out loans while he's adjusting to his new school.
I already looked at the syllabus for my classes, these upcoming classes, and just reading into them, it gets me excited for my major, but they don't look like my typical do the assignment and you'll pass type of class. It definitely looks like I'll have to do the work for it.
Some students also don't have access to federally subsidized loans, which have greater protection for borrowers than other student loans. Undocumented students, including DACA recipients, aren't eligible for federal financial aid of any type, including Pell Grants and loans. Xochitl Bynum was born in Monterrey, Mexico, and moved to San Antonio when she was 11. She tried to go to college in 2007, but had to drop out because she couldn't get any financial aid.
Back then, I was not able to complete my studies because I didn't have any legal status here. I was not able to have any scholarships. I was not able to enroll in an actual university at that time because I didn't have a Social Security number.
She became a U.S. citizen after she married and earned two associate's degrees in 4 years. Now 33 and a single mom, Bynum is studying education at Texas A&M University San Antonio. She says she wants to follow in the footsteps of her middle school English language teachers.
They were the ones that actually made me realize that I was able to learn a new language, that I was good at it, that it had a lot to give.
Sandy Baum with the Urban Institute says the research is clear. Students are more likely to graduate when their parents pay for college or they have enough grants to cover all of their expenses.
The evidence about loans is more complicated because if the loans are replacing grants, you know, you're better off having grants. However, there is evidence that having the loans and having that cash can help you to succeed. And it's really being short of cash that is the biggest problem in interfering with students' ability to succeed academically.
There's not a lot of national research on what that means for Latinos. But there are a few studies here and there that suggest some answers. In 2020, the University of North Carolina partnered with the civil rights group Unidos US to survey Latino students who had dropped out of college. Amanda Martinez is with Unidos US.
Higher education in this nation wasn't really made for Latino students. So there's definitely a gap of knowledge, a gap of understanding of the community and their needs and what makes them successful.
Like TPR, their survey found that Latinos are wary of student loans and that avoiding loans was part of the reason they left college without earning a degree. But report co-author Kate Sablosky-Ellengold with UNC Law says that does not mean financial aid offices need to do a better job convincing them to take on more debt.
First of all, there are rational, logical reasons for Latino students, or really any student, to be averse to education debt. College is really expensive. There are predatory institutions. There are predatory lenders. Just asking students to take on more debt and to take more of the risk and burden onto themselves is not going to level the playing field.
Instead, she recommends changing policies at the federal and state level to make college more affordable and financial aid more accessible.
You really have to think about who's bearing the risk and why, and who should be bearing the risk. And I would just add that over the course of the last few decades, debt has been increasingly available and increasingly more expensive. Pell Grant, the purchasing power of Pell Grants has declined dramatically.
Another UNC co-author, Jess Dorrance, says employment discrimination and inequities in the labor market are another reason simply recommending Latino students take on more debt is a bad idea.
They're getting a degree in the hopes of having new opportunities for jobs and increase their wages and their income. But I think for a lot of folks, they don't feel particularly secure that they're going to be able to get a job that pays the wages they need it to in the field that they've been studying.
Black and Latino Americans have a higher unemployment rate than white Americans. Sablosky-Ellengold says Latino students might feel like a loan is too risky because they're not confident they'll find a good job after they graduate.
You can't separate out lack of access to opportunity, discrimination, you know, all the things that occur in the labor market from taking on debt and asking students to take on more debt.
That's the exact situation Andres Mendoza is afraid of. He changed his major because he was worried he'd have a hard time working his way up the career ladder as a person of color. When he started community college, he wanted to become a sports broadcaster and work for ESPN. But he noticed there were very few Latinos in primetime spots. Now he's studying business at UTSA and dreams of working for the front office of a professional sports team.
People that are, you know, in charge of hiring at big corporations and whatnot, like, If you really look like at the demographics, like most of the people are white. Now, since we're people of color, we have to get a college degree and we have to go above and beyond to, you know, make an impact, to get a job somewhere, to do anything.
He sees the cost of college as just one more barrier he has to get past in order to succeed.
To me, loans are, it's just not fair. I think that college should be funded for everybody, especially if they expect us to go. And especially if the whole bar is set that you have to have a college degree to be successful, then why don't they help us more? You know, why do they expect us to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for this to happen?
So far, there hasn't been enough political will to fund college for everybody in the U.S. But if cities like San Antonio truly want to boost their economy, and if colleges are serious about serving the students in their backyard, then they need to come up with solutions to support students who aren't comfortable taking out loans. Colleges have endowments and scholarship dollars that can make an impact, depending on how they choose to spend them. So what are San Antonio's colleges doing? Where are they directing their scholarship dollars? And is it enough to keep students wary of loans enrolled? In 2019, UTSA started a new program to help make college more affordable for lower-income students. Bold Promise covers tuition and fees for students who enroll in UTSA right after high school and have family incomes of up to $70,000. They also must be Texas residents and graduate from high school in the top 25% of their class. When the program was announced, the income threshold was around $50,000, At the time, Provost Kimberly Espy said it would help more people go to college.
By making college more affordable, we're enabling more people to go. We want to keep student debt as low as possible, and this is certainly a piece of that.
Mendoza doesn't qualify for Bold Promise because he's a transfer student. Even if it had been around when he graduated high school, he wouldn't have qualified because his family makes slightly too much money. His mom's family owns a flooring business, and his dad is a sales rep for a paint company. But it's been a godsend for Denise Lara, who graduated from high school in San Antonio in 2020.
Like, it's worth going to college and graduating now, because I won't have necessarily as much of an issue after I graduate, because I don't have to take out any loans. So because that is my case, it's honestly, like, super awesome, and I'm super blessed because it's going to pay off immediately after I graduate.
Lara lives with her mom and grandma, and they don't have a lot of money. Her mom cleans houses for a living.
You know, sometimes we can afford to go places and sometimes we can't. It's just a matter of what you want to sacrifice and, like, what you can give up. And, I mean, there's always a food pantry. I think the food pantry has helped a lot because they now partner with Whataburger, which is cool because you get, like, free Whataburger gift cards and stuff.
Statistically speaking, Lara knows that she'll probably make more money with a college degree. But if she'd had to take out loans to pay for college, she says she would have had to think carefully about whether or not it was worth it.
You know, sometimes the return is a lot greater, but because student loans are so tricky, because they have such a high interest rate, sometimes they take years and years and years to pay off. And financially, it's worth it, but in, like, the very, 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 very long run, you know? And for me, I feel like it's worth it now. For me, I do think college is worth it. Just because I feel like I've grown in so many areas, you know, not just in my field, but, like, all around, you know, as a person and meeting incredible people. Like, I would never give that up. Like, I would never go back.
UTSA Vice Provost Len Barnes says the university started intentionally focusing on better supporting Latino students about 5 years ago. He says the launch of Bold Promise in the fall of 2020 was a big step towards that goal.
We had about 940 students enroll last fall who received the Bold Promise awards. And, 78% of those were Latino, which is higher than our Latino overall student population. So, you know, we are very pleased that it's reaching any low-income student who meets the criteria, but especially being predominantly Latino or Hispanic, that's speaking well for supporting student success for those students.
When UTSA announced Bold Promise in 2019, Barnes said more than 4,000 students would meet the income requirements. But its initial cohort in the fall of 2020, at the heart of the pandemic, had less than 1,000 students. Barnes says more students would have qualified, but they didn't get their financial aid application in before the January 15th priority deadline.
Part of it is getting students to complete their FAFSA earlier, which, you know, is something that we focus on with our messaging to students, counselors, family members. You know, don't forget to apply for financial aid early, because we want them to maximize, you know, all resources available to them.
The early deadline means students qualify for more state and federal grants, and it lowers the cost for the university. Bold Promise is what's called a last dollar scholarship. It kicks in if grants aren't enough.
From a priority perspective on funds that are limited, like Texas Grant, for example, which is a state grant program, students have to meet that FAFSA deadline to be eligible to be considered. So we use that same deadline to determine Bold Promise eligibility.
Part of the reason Lara has to rely on UTSA's food pantry is because Bold Promise isn't a full ride. It just promises to cover tuition and fees, not living expenses. She says she got a couple thousand dollars back from the financial aid office last spring and about $1,000 in the fall, but that doesn't go very far. Barnes says there's only so much UTSA can afford to do as an institution. If students want financial aid to cover the full cost of attendance, part of it still has to be covered with loans.
there still is a gap. This isn't like 100% free education situation. And so we're sensitive to that. We're trying to continue to raise more money for grants and institutional funds. But there still is a gap, and we understand that. And so we have a financial wellness team that works to counsel and work with students, you know, on ways to manage their money and you know, stretch their dollars and the funding that they are receiving.
All three of San Antonio's public institutions of higher education have launched new free tuition programs in recent years. In addition to UTSA's Bold Promise, the community college system in San Antonio launched Alamo Promise, and Texas A&M University San Antonio started Achiever Promise. Promise scholarships have become more popular across the country in the past few years. They promise students they can earn a degree without having to pay tuition. Alamo College's Chancellor Mike Flores campaigned hard to get business leaders to fund Alamo Promise in 2019. He sees it as a way to transform San Antonio into a city where most high school grads go to college.
The college participation rate right now is 45%. It was actually in 2010, 50%. So we're going in, we'd like to head in the other direction to go back up to 50, and in fact, over 5 years to move to a 70% college participation rate.
Alamo Promise covers tuition and fees for up to 3 years for students who graduate from one of San Antonio's public high schools. The plan is to eventually include all of San Antonio's schools. Right now, it's open to about 45, with a focus on high schools in lower-income neighborhoods with lower college-going rates. Cindy Mendiola Perez is one of the Alamo College's associate vice chancellors.
We've identified Alamo Promise as a way to help our students, in particular those high school graduates who do come from large Latino population high schools, who come from economically disadvantaged households and areas of our city. You know, providing that last dollar scholarship to help support them has been a critical initiative for us in engaging the Latino students.
A&M San Antonio's Promise program is more limited than UTSA's and Alamo College's. It only covers tuition, not fees, and students either have to be in the top 10% of their class or graduate from an early college high school in Texas with at least 30 hours of college credits. When the program was announced in 2020, A&M San Antonio President Cynthia Teniente Mattson said it would give high-achieving local students an affordable option close to home.
We know that students can get recruited away to wonderful schools throughout the United States, but there are a lot of hidden costs in that, including living expenses and travel expenses, and not being able to come home during family emergencies or in times when they're needed.
But even with scholarships and grants, A&M San Antonio Vice President Mari Fuentes-Martin says many of their students have to take out loans if they want to go to school full time.
What I'm trying to tell students is that investing in yourself in student loans is long-term more beneficial to you and your family than it is not borrowing a student loan and only coming to school a little bit at a time. But that's very hard to change a mindset of families that have always grown up this way.
So you see your role as like trying to encourage them to see loans, student loans, as a good investment.
I'm trying to encourage them to see that graduating in a shorter time for a small investment is better than graduating over an extended amount of time and delaying your income. So it's kind of like that cost-benefit analysis. So I'm not saying championing, yes, get a loan, but I am championing graduate sooner than later and get to the work that you want to do.
Like UTSA's Lynn Barnes, Fuentes-Martin says there are limits to what A&M San Antonio can afford to do for students.
We now only get about 30% of our funding from the legislature or other state resources. And so that puts the burden of the cost of higher education on students and families, or on us to find scholarship dollars, you know, to be able to award students.
With those limits in place, a lot of lower-income students will continue to struggle to find a way to afford college. And because Black and Latino students are disproportionately low-income and more likely to be wary of loans, they're also more likely to find they can't afford to finish or even start their degree. The Promise Scholarships lower the burden for some San Antonio students, but they don't erase all of their financial challenges. We'll have to wait and see if there'll be enough to finally shrink the gap between the percent of Latino adults and white adults with a college degree. For many students, being able to afford college is only the beginning. Coming up in our next episode, what do you do if your family needs you at home?
Honestly, it's a privilege to be able to not have to worry about anything but school. Like that idea about, oh no, my son, you know, or daughter, school is their only job. That's a privilege nowadays. That's such a privilege because that also means that you're not stressing about anything else.
The Enduring Gap is a production of Texas Public Radio. This episode was edited by Fernando Ortiz Jr. Jacob Rosati did sound design. Dan Katz is our news director. I'm Camille Phillips.